right. Good afternoon, everyone. So glad you make it. Just a couple of things. So you can see on the screen, this is actually an Active Directory session. The Hyper-V session unfortunately got canceled. So hopefully you're all up for some nice Active Directory disaster recovery. We do some pretty cool stuff. First of all, my name is Alex Bubans. I'm a Premier Field Engineer. Maybe some of you have heard about us. Premier Field Engineering, we work with our Premier support customers. We go on site, and the last couple of years, I spent lots of time designing disaster recovery documents with our customers. Unfortunately, lots and lots of people, I'd say at least 60 to 80% lack some disaster recovery documentation. So I'm quite passionate about the whole topic, and I'm quite well honored to be able to present in front of you guys and hopefully give you some ideas how easy it can actually be to recover disaster or do a disaster recovery on Active Directory. Couple of things we want to cover. First of all, we have a quick look at what actually Active Directory provides, what sort of stuff we need to document. And then we go into a really nice demo, Forest Recovery. Has anyone tested in here Forest Recovery of Active Directory? Yeah, one, that's great. It's a very, very big topic. So if you have a lot of domain controllers, huge forests, we have customers over in Europe that I work with, they've got 70 domains, thousands of domain controllers. It's obviously a very, very big topic. In here, I'll cover a slight portion of it. So we have a look at forest recovery of a single domain and recover the first domain controller. Yesterday, I did the last timing. I did it about 17 minutes. So we'll see how that works out today. If you look at the service level agreements that lots of you probably have, sometimes it's 6 hours, 8 hours until recovery. So 17 minutes is really, really quick. We've done some pretty cool stuff in Server 2012 to make that better as well. Bit of documentation. Maybe some of you have seen the AD topology diagram. We have a quick look while the Active Directory is actually recovering. We have a look at the AD recycle bin. Is anyone using AD recycle bin in here? I can't see any hand, which is quite... there you go, someone in the corner. Which is quite a common thing. There are a couple of reasons for that, and we'll talk about those, and we'll talk about the improvements in Server 2012. The last bit, also Active Directory related, group policies. Everyone is probably using group policies that is using Active Directory, so there's a tiny little portion that helps you recover those. So that's what we'll cover in the next, 60, 65 minutes probably. At the end, we'll also do some Q&A. I've still got some cool t-shirts. I think there are about 8, 9 left. So if you want to come downstairs, ask questions later. I'm really bad at throwing all the way up there. So feel free to come closer, right? Might help with the demos as well. So why is Active Directory important? First of all, is anyone not using Active Directory in here and has no clue what it is? So that's great. Lots and lots of our applications, they actually use Active Directory. One of the key functions is authentication. Everyone knows what's happening. You've got an XP workstation, you've got a Vista workstation, Windows 7. You log in your corporate environment and your domain controllers authenticate you. The second big bit of Active Directory is data delivery that we have. So lots of applications will take Exchange, will take SharePoint, and all the other ones, they store configuration data within Active Directory. So what happens when Active Directory is down? Well, likely it's Exchange disaster as well, a SharePoint disaster. So it's running in the backbone. I've had a discussion with a few customers and some IT managers, and some of them, it's running too much in the background. It's very quiet, right? You only realize what's actually, how important your Active Directory is when it's broken. And then, ideally, you've got a response plan, you've got a DR plan. And hopefully this session will help you a bit coming up with that. Last bit is the replication. We'll actually replicate all the data across. It's a multi-master replication model we have in Active Directory. So if you've got 5 domain controllers, 10 domain controllers, we'll replicate all the data across different sites. So these are main AD functions. If we now have a look at what's actually a disaster, so we divide it a bit into two different areas. We look at outages, and we look at actually disasters. Outage could be single domain controller is failing. Ideally, you've got another domain controller, at least one other domain controller. Maybe you've got another 100 domain controller that are taking over the work, so you've got a slight outage, not much of a problem. Maybe you've got some huge disaster. It could be a security compromise. Hopefully, no one will ever experience a security compromise, and you decide, to roll back your whole forest. And that's what the huge demo, the 80 recovery forest recovery demo will be all about, rolling back everything in your forest. So that's a massive, massive disaster. And yeah, so any of the key functions that are affected that I just talked about in the last slide, any of that could be a potential disaster. There are different ways to recover. Now, in some meetings that I've been with customers, where we talked about, or we highlighted the risk to the business of the customer that there was no DR plan. Some customers then said, well, we do know how to recover a domain controller, don't we? And that's not what, that's easy, right? The easy part. Having a domain controller, one domain controller that fails, that you can do a system state restore, you can simply reinstall the operating system, re-promote a domain controller, that's easy stuff. What's important also is to think about the whole model. What happens when you delete something? Back when I was working at the support years and years and years ago over in Munich, we used to support Germany, Switzerland, and Austria. We got weekly cases. Oops, I deleted an OU, 5,000 users gone. Or oops, deleted OU, 2 users gone, but the OU was called CEO, so it's a major, major crit set, of course, right? So we've, since Windows 2000, we've introduced Active Directory, we've made it easier and easier and easier with every single version to actually recover those things. So if you want to recover deleted objects, we've got the AD Recycle Bin now. You have different PowerShell tools. You can reanimate objects. So you've got lots and lots of different things, different options you have. If you look at the group policies, sometimes I ask customers, do you backup group policies? Do you guys think you backup group policies? Anyone? Yes? So it's, of course, it's part of a system state backup. Hopefully everyone has taken a system state backup of a domain controller. Is it the best way and the fastest way to actually recover your group policies? It really depends. Everyone knows when you want to restore a system state backup, you need to recover a domain controller, you need to reboot it, you need to reboot it into Active Directory restore mode. It's a special mode for domain controllers. Now you need to restore the system state backup on top. All of this is downtime, outage. So I'll give you a quick demo, and that takes about maybe 20, 30 seconds, using scripts or using our group policy management console to backup group policies and automatically recover them. So we'll also talk about that. So all of these things are key parts of Active Directory and Active Directory recovery. Now, when you take backups, and let's say you've got a massive environment, you've got a few hundred domain controllers. I think the biggest ones in Australia that I've worked with were around 1,500, 1,600. I've worked with customers that had 2 domain controllers in their environment, so it spanned the whole thing. And then I asked, so which domain controllers do backup? There's a nice best practice we have where we say, please backup at least 2 domain controllers per writable naming context, which means every single partition. We have many partitions in Active Directory where we store data, so we need to backup all of these, at least 2 domain controllers. 2, well, anything can happen to your backup, right? So if the first domain controller backup doesn't work, you have a second one. So lots of them then say, well, we backup, let's say, DC1 because it contains our FISMA roles. And then I always have to tell them, look, FISMA roles in disaster recovery, we don't really care. So maybe some of you have heard about, there are 5 single master operations roles that we have. They only run on a single domain controller. But for DR purpose, not really interesting. It's actually good to avoid them in a disaster recovery scenario, not to use FISMA role holders, because we have a couple of timeouts that we have. When you reboot a FISMA role holder, it will start in contacting its replication partners to see if they're available. And, well, if there are no replication partners, because, like we'll do in the demo in a few minutes, in the forest recovery, the problem is there are no replication partners, it will run into timeouts, and it will sit there applying computer settings. I guess everyone has seen that, applying computer settings. And, you know, after 10 minutes or something, you get surprised, and what's actually happening? So all of this stuff is happening in the background, right? We're not necessarily telling you that, but that's happening in the background in the code. Same thing that you need to avoid, anything where there is local data. So if you have a local DHCP server, DNS, primary zones, WINS, everyone's still running WINS, right? We can't get rid of it for some reason, right? Anyways, so all of these you should try to avoid. and at least two DCs per writable naming context. We'll talk about what different versions of backups there are in a second. In 2003, how many are you still using Windows 2003 on domain controllers? See, so fair bit. So our hope actually is that with Windows Server 2012, that you guys will upgrade straight away, you know, go into 2012, use all the cool new features. Anyway, you still have a few more months to get rid of the old 2003 to stay in a supported environment. Anyway, in 2000, 2003, we had very easy and anti-backup system state backups that you could use. We still have that. 2008.02, Server 2012. In 2008, we got rid of anti-backup. We've now got a new thing, Windows Server Backup as a feature, and we'll have a look at that. And the one cool thing that I always tell customers, which helps a lot in speeding up the recovery process, is the bare metal recovery. And that's what I'll demo in a second. The bare metal recovery introduced in 2008, still there in 2012. I'll use it in 2012. The other thing is, it's actually great to have a virtual machine. Could be VMware virtual machine, could be Hyper-V virtual machine, could be any other virtual machine, and take a backup of the virtual machine and restore in case of an emergency into another virtual machine. The reason for that is we only support system state restore to the same hardware. It can be a tiny little bit different. It can be the disk controller, it can be a driver, and it goes, bam, you have a blue screen because we can't read it after restore, and it doesn't work. Backing it up on a virtual machine, restoring it to a virtual machine, very, very easy. Same as what I'll do in my test environment. The other nice thing that you can do is two ways in Windows Server Backup feature. You can backup to file share. You can also backup to another attached virtual hard drive file. Very, very fast recovery. You'll see that in a second when you actually recover from a VHD that's simply attached to the server. Has anyone used the bare metal recovery in Windows Server Backup feature? If not, that's actually a nice demo. Not a lot of customers actually use it or even know about that there is a bare metal recovery feature in it. Quickly talking about third-party tools, there are great tools out there from our partners that usually help. They're really good at recovering deleted objects, doing similar stuff like the AD Recycle Bin, recovering objects down to the attribute level and doing all these things. Two questions that I usually ask customers is, can you access your backups when you need to recover them? Maybe you need to actually a domain account to log into the tape library server or something like that, the backup management server. If there is no Active Directory, can you still log in? That's a question you have to ask yourself. The other thing is, after running these disaster recovery tests with lots and lots of customers, of course, you all invested quite a bit of money in your backup solution and you want to use it. When you look at the system state restore, one thing is the only staying supported way is during a system state restore actually using anti-backup or Windows Server Backup. And with the other system state backups where third-party tools talk to our backup API, well, you also need to include the vendor. So it's a nice best practice to have at least two domain controllers running anti-backup and server backup feature. If you look at the documentation, going away from the backup tools for a second, what do you need to document and what tools do we have to help you documenting things? Of course, you need the DCs, you need the names, IP addresses, OS versions, service pack levels, all these things. We have a quick demo of, or I have a quick demo of the AD topology diagram in a second. It's a little tool that a colleague in Munich wrote, and it talks to Visio in the background, and it will simply draw out a nice topology for you. Another thing, of course, FISMA role holders, we talked about those, you need to document them. And then there is a nice thing, it's called DSRM password. It's the directory services restore mode password. It's a local one. It's not being replicated to any other domain controller. You can use it. You can set it using NTDS util. Everyone who's promoted a domain controller, you probably know. You run DC promo, or you used to run DC promo. Did anyone go to what's new in AD? And they probably told you there is no more DC promo. You do everything in server manager now. Anyway, so when you promote a domain controller, you will be asked for a recovery mode password. That's the DSRM password. It's not replicated, it's local. Please, please document it. If you don't know the passwords, just simply reset them. You don't know the old one and document it. I've seen lots and lots of customers who try to restore something on the domain controller and didn't have a DSRM password, couldn't access the domain controller, couldn't access the backup. So it's very, very important. And then there's something, a special user. It's our RID 500 user, we call him. The built-in administrator account. Some people rename it. So it might be, it might not be administrator anymore, but you can identify it by seeing little 500 relative identifier. It's important because if you don't have any global catalogs in your environment, that's the only user you can use to log in. So quite important one. Now going to the fun part, going to the recovering the forest scenario. So a couple more slides, and then I'll promise we dive into demos, and there will be lots and lots and lots of demos. So first of all, customers ask, why do I need to prepare for a forest recovery? Why is it necessary? I've got 100 domain controllers. I've got 50 domain controllers. They all replicate the data. If a single domain controller fails, well, you know, I've got enough other ones. That's not a problem. They will take over the load, and that's all great. There are a few issues. There was one customer in Australia a few years back that got compromised, but an old disgruntled employee, he got fired. Still had a login, did whole lots of stuff in Active Directory, and then you have to decide as a business what you want to do. So you see something is happening in your environment, you have to act fast. Do you think you want to fix everything? Maybe. Maybe you catch everything. Maybe it's the cheap thing. But there are lots and lots of things, if you've got a clever attacker, that you can see where you can identify the problem in 4 years, in 5 years maybe, down the road, when you have no clue what actually caused the issue. Or do you roll back the forest to a state where it wasn't compromised, maybe a week back, maybe 3 weeks back, maybe 4 weeks back? Both is catastrophic. Every single thing is catastrophic where you need to roll back data. Think about all these things you lose. You lose Exchange config, SharePoint config. Hopefully no one in your environment just deployed new Exchange server. All the configuration will be gone if you roll back. It's it takes weeks usually. And it's getting worse if you're not prepared. There are three different phases that we've identified sort of within our premier field engineering department where we help our customers with the disaster recovery. The first phase is the one we actually go through in the demo. It's the minimal operational Active Directory forest. Means you restore one domain controller in the root domain, and you do that in the isolated network. Then I will go and mark your sysvol where all your group policies are stored as authoritative. It could be FRS, it could be DFSR. And quickly, a question. Who's using DFSR to replicate sysvol in your environment? One, a few in the back. Cool, a few in the back. Everyone who's interested in how that actually works, there is a best time frame ever. First session tomorrow morning, 8:15 after the party. We'll do a kickstarting or migration session on 2012, and I'll do a demo on how to migrate sysvol from FRS to NTFR, from FRS to DFSR. So that's a nice thing. So in case you wonder how that works, we'll have a look at it tomorrow. For now, in the test environment, I'm using FRS in this case. Then you have to clean up the environment. That's the next step. Good old metadata cleanup you had since 2003. Metadata cleanup within NTDS util. Bit of a pain, bit of a weird tool, weird syntax. It's always fun to watch someone using it for the first time. Anyway, you can still use it. It's there. You can use PowerShell now. Of course, everything is PowerShell these days, right? So you can use it in PowerShell. But in Server 2012, most of the stuff you can actually also use in the do in the GUI. I'll give you the demo in a second. Then we'll do something where we remove global catalogs. You need to do that in a multi-domain environment. And then the next big step is increasing the RID available pool. Now, this is something you usually only do really in a disaster recovery environment. So a RID available pool, there is something, one of the FISMA roles that I talked about before, it's called the RID master. The RID master is responsible for issuing relative identifiers. Those relative identifiers, they're actually responsible for creating our or they are part of our security identifiers, where every single object in Active Directory has a unique one. And we need to increase this RID available pool to make sure that we do not issue the same RID again after the forest recovery. That's one of the most important steps. You can't miss it in a real-life recovery scenario. So I'll show you how to do that. There is a documented way and a not-so-documented way. I'll show you the documented one using LDP, a simple LDAP browser that comes with Windows Server or within the support tools. After you've done all that, and that's pretty much all I do in the lab in a second. After you've done all that, you restore one domain controller in each child domain, and then you go ahead and recreate the trust. Trusts are managed on the PDC master. PDC master, the second important role in a forest recovery. And that's why I usually see issues when customers prepare for their forest recovery. I see PDC master is not available for whatever reason. It could be a network issue, it could be DNS. Or they have some firewall rules. So the PDC master has to be available if you want to recreate the trust between your child domains and your root domains. I always like very, very, very easy, especially from a disaster recovery perspective, very easy designs. So not too complex, not just for the sake of having 20 domains running 20 domains, because it takes quite a while longer. Restoring a single domain, single forest is fairly simple after you've done the tests. Last bit, you mark all the DCs as global catalogs again and hope that everything's replicating. Now you've got one domain controller in each of your domains. You've got that restored. That will be the demo in a second. The second phase now is what we call where we populate the domain controllers. We get it to an operational strength again. You might have different sites. You might have branch offices that have domain controllers where you need the domain controllers and need to have them up and running again. You can use all sorts of different strategies. We've got, since 2003, something that's called install from media, where you take a backup or you use NTDS util these days to create an offline image of your Active Directory. You can mail it, you can ship it, you can copy it across to your branch it and use it for initial promotion. You can do something new and cool that's domain controller cloning. Again, if you want to see cloning in action, we'll have another demo tomorrow morning, 8:15. Not the best time, not my favorite time at all. Third one, full operational strength. That's when everything is repopulated. It could be weeks after a forest failure, right? So that's when everything is running again. Taking a step back, because that was quite a bit of information on three slides. Originally it was on one. I thought that, you know, that's impossible. So I created a few nice animations. If we have a look at the first recovery scenario that you talked about, where you have multiple domains, we have a domain A in our case, controls.com, with a single domain controller. We recover it, do all the metadata cleanup, raising the RID pool, all these different things that I just talked about. Then we do the same in our domain B, first domain controller, in this case, a child domain, redmond.controls.com. We recreate the trust, make sure that works between the two PDC masters. And then we do the same in this case on our second domain, make sure it works, recreate the trust, and then we start repopulating it, fairly simple, and hope that everything is working fine. Keep in mind, depending how old your backups are, 2 weeks old, 3 weeks old, 4 weeks old, you lose quite a bit of data, right? It could be passwords, attributes, no users, configuration of Exchange, SharePoint, all these different things. You will lose definitely data in a forest recovery. Because we don't have too much time in this case, and we can't have a look at multi-domain recovery, this is the demo scenario. Very, very simple stuff. Single domain forest. We have controls.com, single domain controller. You restore the second one, replicate it again. Very simple. Forest recovery. So let's have a quick look. That was quite a bit of information. So let's see if that works. I think it's quite, it's a bit of a risky demo. But I want to show you how easy it can be, because I had too many talks with customers who say it's impossible to recover Active Directory. Or we will be out of business before our Active Directory will be operational again. Right? So hopefully by this very, very simple demo, you'll you'll see that it's actually possible. So in this case, the first thing that I wanted to show you, no one or only a few people had seen the bare metal recovery. I want to quickly show you the options that you need to tick in Windows Server Backup feature. As I said, it's a simple feature you can install in the in Server Manager. By default, it's not installed. Then you open the backup. And in this case, all I want to do is I want to create a quick local backup. Ah, see, it's not even installed. Perfect. We go to add roles and features. How do you like the new server manager? Good? One, yes. Both thumbs. That's what I want to see. Next, role-based. And of course, you've seen many, many demos. I'm not talking about it too much anymore. You can see the roles, and then we can simply scroll down, and we see Windows Server Backup. Tick it and hit install. It's installing it locally now. It should take only a few seconds. There aren't a lot of changes since 2008.02 to 2012 in terms of backup. Works pretty much the same thing. So we will. What I've prepared is a simple bare metal recovery. It's quite big. It's about 26 gig in my opinion. In my case. So you definitely have to increase your storage and your disk space if you come from a simple system state backup and anti-backup. Installation succeeded. All right. Probably have to open it. Ah, there you go. Local backup. And you can, you know, as usual, you can create a backup schedule. You can back it up once. And one thing I quickly want to mention, lots of customers that I've seen, especially in big enterprises where you've got different teams, you've got a backup team, a storage team, Active Directory team, and all these things, it's really nice to have at least two domain controllers where you have a backup locally and you don't rely on any tape, you don't rely on your storage team, you don't rely on your backup team. You can quickly access it and then restore it. So in this case, I can use a local disk. Different options. You can always do full server. In this case, I want to quickly show you custom, add items. And the bare metal recovery is the one you need to tick. It automatically ticks everything else. The system state backup, system reserved, and quite a bit of C, actually. You hit OK, hit next. Then I mentioned you can backup to file share. You can backup to disk. Fairly simple. Straightforward, and you go from here. And if you had a disk attached, you can now simply back it up. It takes a while. As I said, it's fairly large in my case, so I prepared it for you. Because watching a backup isn't quite exciting, I guess, right? So in this case, my Hyper-V box, I created a new virtual machine that is empty. I attached a couple of disks. I've got a new disk, Controller-DC 2012DR. I attached the one with the backup. And what I need to do is I need to attach the ISO of a boot disk. So in this case, I simply use the ISO of Server 2012. You can attach a USB disk, whatever you can and have to boot from. You simply turn it on, open it. And it will immediately boot, since there is no OS installed on the disk. It will immediately boot into the recovery mode. And that's the really nice part. It exists since 2008. Not a lot of customers, unfortunately, know about that. It's a very, very simple way. You can select your language to install, or you simply click Next. And now this is the interesting part. You hit Repair Your Computer. And you know, since it's Server 2012, it's all mouse and all, you know, all nice and shiny. You go to Troubleshoot, System Image Recovery. And now it will scan the local disks. If you had the backup sitting on a file share, it would actually connect out to a file share. If you have multiple backups, you can select a system image in case you want to install a driver because it can't read your storage, can't read your disk, you need to install a driver. You can do it here. You can search for an image on the network. And the one big thing that customers usually hit that I see is the backup is stored in a little folder that's called Windows Image Backup. It actually needs this folder. You can't take the backup out of it. This process will not find anything that's not in a Windows image backup folder. Another thing, it will only look for fixed disks. If you attach a USB key, a little thumbstick, it's a removable storage media. It will not look at those. That's not supported for that. You can use a USB hard disk or anything else, just not a USB thumb key. So I've seen some customers, they tried it for, you know, lots and lots of times, always failed. So that's actually very important to know. We can select it. Hit next. Next. And now it's giving us options, you know, reformat, repartition. Very, very important is your drive layout, your partition layout has to be the same. If it's any different, your backup will fail. So in this case, it will actually reformat and repartition the backup. And we hit finish, say one last time, yes. And now it's preparing your restore. We won't go through all the process now. We leave it running a bit. Takes about, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 minutes now to restore all the data. It has a lot to work through. So hopefully we now have a look at the AD recycle bin, AD topology diagram, and all these things. And we come back to the forest recovery, to the important part. So this is the bare metal recovery. Very easy. As a comparison to the system state backup, you actually need to install an operating system manually. Lots of customers, they don't have a process to install an OS manually, at least of a server. So you need to do that manually, and then on top, you need to install this, or you need to restore the system state backup. This does everything for you. So you simply point to the backup, hit OK, and you're done. Would save you lots and lots of time, which is important in a forest recovery scenario. All right, let's, yes. Very good question. So the question was if the bare metal recovery works the same way in 2008.02. Answer is yes. 2008, 2008.02, Server 2012, I haven't seen any differences. I could have done the demo on 2008 or 2008.02 works similar way. You just don't have the little fancy recovery console, which is, you know, nice and blue and shiny. And in 2008.02, you would see old black DOS screen. But it works the same way. Anyways. Documenting your environment. Let's have a quick look at that. Documenting the environment. Sorry? You want to restore your domain controller to a VHD on Windows 8?
Yeah. So if your machine's dead.
Yeah. It can. So the supported way is still the same hardware.
Yep.
So if your Server 2012 has the same hardware as your Windows 8 machine, so we're talking about hardware? I see. It comes down to the hypervisor, if that's what you mean. So you can use the hypervisor on Server 2012. You can restore to the hypervisor on Windows 8. You can do that, definitely. What you can't do is you can't go from Hyper-V to VMware or VMware to Hyper-V. Even between different versions, it's complicated. But since Windows 8 and Server 2012 share the same hypervisor, minus the Hyper-V replica feature, you can definitely do that, yes. So, in fact, I'm using Windows 8 Hyper-V in here. All right. You guys deserve T-shirts for that. You have to remind me in a second. When we come to the end. Yes, another one. Sorry, domain function level? For this?
Yeah.
Everything. No domain functional bound. You can do bare metal recovery on 2003 forest function level if you want to. Doesn't matter. So the question was if there is a special domain or forest function mode needed to use bare metal recovery? None. Works straight away. All right. Now I mentioned the AD topology diagrammer. This is the actual tool. I started it a second ago. There are a couple of things you need to do. Let's do it like that. So let's increase it a bit. There are a couple of things you need to do. One, you need to point it to a global catalog server. In this case, I'm pointing it to the local box because it needs to grab the information from somewhere, right? to draw a tree diagram. You can document lots of stuff with it. You can update existing Visio diagrams. I told you, once you hit the draw button, it will talk to Visio in the back end. It can count users in the domain, look at trust and all these little things. In our case, I really want to have a look at the site structure. So what I want to draw is I want to draw a diagram for sites because I want to know for my recovery document what the site structure is. I am also interested in a domain diagram where all the FISMO roles are. It automates all of this. I have a look at the IP site links, and I want to document the intra-site connections. I want to document the inter-site connections. That's between domain controllers within a site, between domain controllers between sites. So all of this I want to document. And some new stuff is, in case anyone is using DFSR replication, same stuff. You can use this tool to document DFSR, but that's not part of the topic today. And I always like to color code code it a bit. Then you hit the discover button. Takes a second. It will now talk to our global catalog server, which is running locally on server 2012. It will, if we go up a bit, in the status, it will actually, bam, done, completed, found one domain, two app partitions, four sites, zero admin groups. And then you hit the little draw button. It's very simple. It only needs Visio installed. It can be, it works all the way down to Visio 2003, I believe. 2003, 2007, 2010. And I haven't checked against the new Visio 2012. I'm not quite sure if that's supported yet. So now you can see Visio is opening. Since it's not activated, I have to quickly cancel that. And now it starts drawing. You can see it's already happening. On the right-hand side, there is the domain. On the left-hand side, the sites. Now, this is fairly small. So let's quickly open the ones that I prepared. They're already zoomed in. So it gives you something like this. Can have a look like that. So it gives you the site information of Redmond, London, Munich. It gives you nice site information. If we zoom in a bit, it even gives you in-depth information about what's happening. So in this case, if you look at London, for example, we have three domain controllers in a site. The little globe means it's a global catalog server. It will tell us the replication links. It will tell us the site cost, the configurations, and all these little things that you all should have in a forest recovery document. If we have a look at the other diagram, which documents all your domains in your forest. In this case, we've only got litware.com, only one forest, but it tells us the NetBIOS name, tells us the main functional mode, all the FISMO role holders, it tells us the schema version. So it makes it a lot easier. If you have lots of domain controllers, it might look a bit messy, this diagram. Now, within PFE, we've got some nice little tool, and it's mainly PowerShell, where PowerShell scripts Visio to automatically move around and form a nice topology. So if you're working in a really, really big environment, and you've got a PFE that you can grab, and you want to rearrange this, you know, just ask us. We're happy to rearrange it for you. It takes, you know, 20 seconds. I did it once for a customer up in, it was actually up in Brisbane. And he said, well, Alex, the stuff that your script just did in 30 seconds, I spent 6 hours last day rearranging all this stuff. So you could save lots of time. Anyway, that's an easy way to document it. By the way, I have some later resources. There's some free download, right? Microsoft.com. I have the links on the slide deck in a second. All right. Have a look at the next bit, AD Recycle Bin. So a few were using it, not many. So we'll talk a bit about what's new and what's really not so new. So all the old stuff, it's been available since 2002, so for quite a few years. And I have not seen many customers in Australia, unfortunately, using it. The problem is it requires a forest function level of 2002. It means you can't have any older domain controllers. No 2008, no 2003, not a single one. They all need to go out. Needs to be at least 2002. That's the big, big problem. The great thing that I love about Server 2012, and you probably have heard about that in the AD session, there's really only a single feature that is bound. It's a little Kerberos feature. It's Kerberos Fast, where you need to have a 2012 domain functional level. All the rest, if you have dynamic access control, cloning, all the new cool features, no functional mode needed anymore. You only need enough domain controllers, which is quite important when it comes down to testing, when you look at perfmon counters and all these things. Anyway, AD Recycle Bin. It's called an AD optional feature. It's the only AD optional feature. The one new thing in 2008.02 as well was that you could roll back a forest functional mode if something is not working. If you've got a line of business application and for some reason it's not working in the new forest functional mode, you could roll it back until you enable the first AD optional feature, which is the AD recycle bin. And it's still the only AD optional feature in 2012 as well. We change in the background whole stuff what we used to delete. In 2008.02, we only gave you PowerShell, which is great for automation. Lots of people said, well, we really want a GUI. There were third parties, there were partners that actually wrote GUI on top of the AD recycle bin. Worked quite well. Server 2012, we now also have a GUI, so I'll give you a quick demo of that. And I want to give you a second demo, which is a nice script. There is a script on TechNet. There wasn't an easy way in PowerShell to actually restore whole OU. So customers were asking, so someone deleted an OU containing 5,000 users. It's all gone. And now, how do I recreate it or get it back? Really, really simple. So there's a little PowerShell script that's available on TechNet. And I'll give you a demo of that as well. The main benefit, hopefully everyone knows, the main benefit is you can restore everything in your domain partition, only in the domain partition, where we store users, groups, passwords, everything like that. And you can restore it with all the linked attributes, meaning group memberships, if you've got attributes, email addresses, everything like that. In the old days, where you don't have an AD recycle bin enabled, well, we get rid of everything. You delete an object, we strip away most of these attributes, and either you've got a very expensive backup product that gives it, restores it back for you, or you could reanimate it and then do some PowerShell scripts. And, it's a bit of pain. Anyway, we'll have a quick look at the AD recycle bin. Going back to our Litware domain on server 2012, we have the AD Admin Center, of course. Who's used the Active Directory Administrative Center in 2008.02? Yes, you did. So that's actually few. So usually I get no one. No one's using it. Sometimes it's help desk. There were some really nice features where you could translate search queries into LDAP queries. But it was painfully slow. Major, major problem. And there wasn't a lot of things that you can do with it. So our product group, they added lots and lots more into it. So in the AD Admin Center, you now have the Active Directory Recycle Bin GUI. I'll show you that in a second. You get a GUI for creating fine-grained password policies. Anyone who created that in ADSI Edit, it's a bit of a pain. So now it's a lot easier. It's also in there. And you have, if you can see, I'll actually go to my Litware domain. You can do things such as enabling the AD recycle bin just by the click of a button. Before it was, please run this long PowerShell commandlet or go to LDP and specify all these different options and then you enable it. Now it's a click of a button. The same thing for raising the forest function mode, raising domain function mode. It's all sitting up here. It's quite nice. The other big thing before we go to the AD recycle bin, and that's actually one of the most important, and people will probably miss it. There's a little chevron down at the bottom, which you can see here. That's the PowerShell History Viewer. Everything that we do in the AD Admin Console is translating into an actually PowerShell command in here. So once I use the AD Recycle Bin in a second, you will see PowerShell commandlets popping up and reflecting the same that I'm doing in the GUI. It's telling us the code of what's actually happening in the background, because this is really just an interface for lots of PowerShell that's happening in the background. So if we have a look at that, let's say, finance. Finance is a nice department, right? Finance is a nice department. It's quite important most of the time. We have users in here, of course. and users with lots of group memberships. So if I go to group members, you will see, I can zoom in a bit, group 10, group 100 is actually a member of a few just generic groups. In the old days, without AD Recycle Bin, you delete the user, all group memberships are gone. So now with the AD Recycle Bin enabled, we will keep all that. So we'll close that. Finance, right click, delete. And in this case, I've actually done so that it doesn't fail. Hopefully it doesn't in a second. Since 2002, we added a little deny delete ECL to protect an OU. If you're still running 2003, you can do the same thing. In 2002, we added it to the GUI where you can tick a tick box. In 2003, you can actually go to the OU, go to the securities, and just add a deny ECL for everyone, and you can't delete your OUs anymore. It's fairly simple. It's really not doing anything else. In this case, for this demo, I've already removed it. So it's telling me, do you really want to delete it? And bam, it's starting to delete a lot. And down here, you can see the PowerShell that's running through with all the different commands that it's now running. So for every single user object, it runs remove AD object, it confirms, and you can use it for your automation. Especially in the directory services team, a couple of months ago, I was in the US for Server 2012 training, and there were about 30, 40 directory services people, and we are all fairly new to PowerShell because we didn't really need it in the past. And now it's all PowerShell and PowerShell. You actually need to restore it or delete it. You can do the same stuff in PowerShell. The question is, can you do it in one command, right? So the PowerShell history view is a bit of a funny toy. So lots of the PowerShell, they all work, all these commands that you will see in the history viewer. It doesn't mean it's the most efficient call, because that's what the code runs in the background. But it could be that lots of the stuff, in this case, it is remove AD objects and then confirm identity server, that you run a different command and it does everything at once. So you don't need to run 50, 100, 500 different commands to delete all the users. So yeah, you can do it at once. What we can't do at once, actually, is now recovering. That's the one downside, unfortunately, that got cut from Server 2012. You still need to restore the parent first. So in this case, since it's an OU, that's deleted now. We can go to the deleted objects container, and in here we've got everything now. All the deleted objects got deleted per default in the last 180 days. You can expand that if you want, but to be honest, if you deleted something 180 days ago or later, and you haven't figured out that you actually need that, it's probably not needed. But you can change it if you want to. The nice thing is you can filter it. You can filter it when it was deleted. You can filter it by last known parent. And again, quite a bit hidden, unfortunately, up here the filter, is another little tiny chevron here, which lets you add a criteria. And that's really nice. So the criteria has a nice little drop box that lets you filter by employee ID, by first name, by job title, by OS. So lots and lots of stuff, and then filter down what you actually want to restore. So in my case, I want to get the user spec that I just deleted. So that's a fair bit. And in here, you will see there is one that's an organizational unit. You see it in here. All these are type user, and this is type organizational unit. So when I try to restore the user itself now, it will actually fail, because it will tell you, look, you need to restore the parent first. And then I give you a script in a second which does it all automatically, and you can download it, adapt it to your needs. So you have a few options. You can locate a parent. You can say restore. If you hit restore to, you can restore to any location you want. So in this case, let's just restore the old parent, and it comes up with the error message. The operation could not be performed because the object's parent is either uninitiated or deleted, meaning there is no parent. You need to get that back first. I restore the finance OU. It's back in. And we can verify that by having the finance OU back in. And now I can go to the deleted objects container and can delete all, restore all these little objects that I want, and it's running restore, restore, restore. And if you want for future scripts, for reference, you need to know what's actually happening, you can scroll up and down to actually see what's happening. I need to... all right. The other bit now is restore AD tree. Restore AD tree. Has anyone heard about restore AD tree? So we started using it. We're teaching workshops and lots of stuff. So one is my Active Directory disaster recovery workshop that I teach sometimes to customers. And we are using it in there because customers were asking about an easy way script to use. So in this case, I'll do a similar task. Now I'll go back to my other domain controller in the Litware domain, and we have a look at that. So this is actually a 2008.02 box. As I said, there is no difference, and that's the reason why I've got 2008.02. You need to have something that's called the AD web services running on your domain controller that we have since 2008.02. So that makes all the PowerShell commandlets work. So it works on 2008.02, the script. It works on Server 2012. Same stuff. Sorry? In core as well, too. That is a good question. Core is always a tricky thing, right? I'm not quite sure. I would need to get back to you on that one. All right. So same thing. Let's say this time we delete the sales department. So I'll go in here. Again, it's not protected anymore. We delete it. Ah, see, there you go. It is protected. Here I thought unprotected. I think it's finance that's unprotected. Can I have a look at that? Object, and here you can see actually the object. Protect object from accidental deletion. You untick it, and now we will be able to delete it. So we delete it. Sales, yeah. And you can see there are actually lots of warnings. And weirdly enough, we get these cases all the time. Do you really want to delete it? Yeah. Are you sure you want to delete it? There are lots of objects. Yeah, still want to delete it. So, you know. And that's what the AD recycle bin is for. All the objects are gone. And now you can do, since it's AD recycle bin enabled, you can do that. Or you use the script. So in this case, it's an... on this box. And as I said, it's freely available on TechNet. You can download it. It's on the last slide. I've got a link. If you run it, you can see it's fairly simple. It's a fairly simple thing. In my case, I want to restore AD tree. I use the last known IDN, and I will use sales, I think, right? That's the one I deleted. Last known IDN, sales. Did I really delete sales or finance? Let's do finance. So the error message is basically telling me there is not... last known RDN. No, that's all right. Last known RDN, finance. Nothing, which is a bit odd, right? Last known... That's a bit unfortunate. I think we move on from that one. So ideally, what you would have seen is you get back the OU, you get a whole lot of long list of little green entries, and you have back everything. All right. But since there is not too much time left, and we'll move on a bit. All right. So, AD recycle bin. Let's see. We have to. Actually, we have a look at that in a second, and we'll have a look first at what our forest recovery is doing. So the timer says we've got 21 minutes left. So let's see if we can manage to recover that in that time. That's a good point, right? Login screen. That's always nice to have. That would have been unfortunate if that doesn't work either. So we log in. Now in this case, this is my first domain controller in the forest, right? Remember what we've done about half an hour ago? We restored the first domain controller in the forest in the root domain. That's what we've done. So we have to do a few things now. All the stuff that I had on the list before. So one thing we'll do first is we will mark the sysvol as authoritative. Before that, we do that. We actually check the IP configuration, because since 2008.02, there are a couple new things where we do an actual automated cleanup of all the DNS records during metadata cleanup. But for this to happen, we actually need to have access to this. And since it's set to DHCP, because I've got a new ID for my network card in Hyper-V, it's different identifier, and it's simply created a new one for me. So that's the reason for that. I'll quickly have a sneak peek in my DNS. And I'm using 10.0.0.1 for Contoso DC1. That was the old one. So I'll just use 10.0.0.2 for this guy now. You could do it at a later point, but that would mean there is no automatic cleanup of DNS records in a second. So we point it to ourselves, hit OK. It's complaining that it's already in a hidden adapter that's Hyper-V related. We hit OK. And now the first thing that I want to do is I want to mark our sysvol as authoritative. That's where all our group policies are stored. I go to C, Windows, sysvol. And in here, you now have a pre-existing directory, which is done during the backup and recovery. We simply take it out of here, mark this, put this in here, because that's where it actually needs to be. And now we need to mark all these policies as authoritative. So it's called, there is something called a birth flag, a D4 in FRS. In DFSR replication, it would work slightly different. We'll have a look at that tomorrow. In the session that I mentioned before. So to set the birth flag, very quick, system, current control set, services. That's where all our services are configured, directory services and also our file replication service. So we'll scroll down all the way to NTFRS, parameters, backup restore, and here we see process at startup. So I'll change that a bit. Let's have a look. So you can see that. So it's quite a long path. You see all the way down here. So all we need to do now is we need to set this little birth flag to D4 and restart our FRS service that picks up the birth flag and marks everything as authoritative. All right. So I'll go back in here. Command prompt net stop. NTFRS. And net start NTFRS. So running a D4, I just want to give you a quick disclaimer. This is actually a huge impact if you run this command in a working Active Directory environment. So I always tell our Premier customers, please open a support call to make sure that you really need to do this authoritative restore, really need to do this D4. So if you don't have a Premier support contract, call your partner or another one at work, just so that you've got another set of eyes on what you're actually doing and why are you doing it. That's actually really, really important. If you want to know what's happening in the background now, you can go to the event viewer. In this case, we have our file replication service in here. And now the one important event I want to get is 13.5.6.1. So 13.5.6.1 is that one. The file replication service is no longer preventing the computer from becoming a domain controller. So every single domain controller who doesn't have a sysvol share and who doesn't have this event is not really a domain controller. It doesn't handle any authentication. To verify, I can simply type in a net share. And now what you're seeing is you have a netlock unshare and a sysfol share. Otherwise, your domain controllers, they simply will not work. This is what you need. Right? So this is accomplished by the default that I've just done. Now I mentioned a few other things. So we have a few other big tasks that we need to do. We need to do the metadata cleanup. Now I mentioned the NTDS util that we had in the olden days. Still exists, but I want to show you the the very quick and easy new way. And this can be done since 2008.02. You can use that. You can do it simply in the GUI. In 2003 and 2008, you can also click on the NTDS settings object if my sites and services come up. Here you go. And so you simply select the NTDS settings of your domain controller, and you delete it. And say, yeah, delete. So this only works. It works since 2003. It doesn't do the whole job. So since 2008.02, it does clean up FRS member objects. It does clean up DNS objects and all these little things that we need to get rid of. So we say yes, say yep, the domain controller will be permanently offline. We delete it. You really want to delete it? Yeah, it's a global catalog. Really? Yeah. And now this is new. I talked about seizing FISMA roles and FISMA roles that are not really interesting in terms of backup restore. I get a lot of the questions saying, don't we really know backup? Sure. And this is, we simply recreate them. And this is new in Server 2012, where you delete the NTDS settings object, and bam, it automatically seizes the FISMA roles for you. So no more NTDS util, actually no PowerShell, right? So it's doing that all in the background. You can use PowerShell if you want. Just the same thing. This one still exists. You simply delete it. Now, there are a couple of other things. I mentioned the RIT manager. That is important. We talked about the relative identifiers. And that's actually a bit of a tricky one. So you need to do it on every single domain that you restore. You would do it on the first domain controller. Very, very important. You raise the RIT pool by 100,000. That's how we documented it, at least. So you can run LDP. Let's see. LDP, I will increase the font a bit for you guys. So you have a bit of a better view. The RIT manager is the attribute where the RIT available pool is sitting. It's RIT manager dollar means it's a hidden attribute. So you can't really see it in ADSI edit. You can connect to it directly. That works fine. But you can't browse it. And you can in LDP. So we simply connect. If you don't add anything, you connect to localhost. That's actually big. You bind. Picking up my local domain credentials. That's fine. We use the administrator. And now we'll browse to the domain partition, sitting on the domain partition. Down here, we'll see system. We scroll down a bit and system, and we'll see the RIT manager dollar. And the RIT manager dollar now has this nice little thing, RIT available pool, entered large integer number. Now, everyone who knows Active Directory a bit knows that there is roughly 1 billion RIDs at the moment that's available. And so this really needs to be converted a bit. So that's the nice thing why I always show people in LDP. In the utilities, it has a large integer converter. You can pipe in the string or the numbers. You can run it, and it gives us two parts. That was the string of the attribute. It gives us a high part, and it gives us a low part. The low part is the number of RIDs that you already consumed. The high part is the maximum number of RIDs that are available, roughly a billion. So if you're getting close, you might have a problem at some stage. So in this case, we're all good. And now I'm taking this number, and I increase it by 100,000 to make sure that after my forest recovery, not a single RID is being issued again. So we'll do that by going to modify. We need to add a couple of things. One thing, it's a bit too big. So you can be really, really lazy in this case, and you can simply copy and paste everything from here. So the distinguished name. Distinguished name of the RIT manager. You have the attribute that was RIT available pool. I mentioned that. We'll copy that. and you have the value. Now there's a little protection, because obviously if you would roll back the value now, you would or might break your Active Directory. So if you type in now and use a value that's actually not permitted that would roll back the read available pool, it comes up with an error message saying, no, I don't want to do that. ADSI had it, fortunately has the same security mechanism. You type it in. So here we go, that's the number, and we simply have a look at, we go back 6 digits, and we simply increase the 4 by 1 and make it a 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and we increase it by 1. Now we hit replace, hit enter, hopefully it'll work, we run it, and what you want to see down here is modified. If you see modified, this means we changed the value and everything worked fine. If you see anything, error not found, error something, read master not available, something like that, you need to go again. This is the one step you cannot miss in a forest recovery. If you do the same, I was delivering a workshop in Hobart once, and we talked about ADDR and forest recovery. I had this one customer, he recovered a domain in his test environment, and then he created users, and all of a sudden he was getting these weird error messages where relative identifiers were issued twice. And he said, so how do I fix that? He said, well, you do it again. You have to do the forest recovery again. So that's the one thing you do not want to do. Imagine you just spend, I don't know, half an hour, 2 hours in a complete meltdown. There is no forest in your environment. That's a huge, huge critical situation that you're in. You don't want to do it again. So that has to work. And if you want to double check, you can refresh the writ manager. We can have a look at the writ manager writ available pool. We can copy it. And pipe it into the converter, paste it, run it, and you can see it's now 107,100. So we increased about 100,000. Done. That's all right. Now we can move on. Now there are a couple of more, 7 minutes. We are going close to the end. A couple of things that are important as well. DNS cleanup, huge pain in 2003, 2008. Luckily, if you're running at least 2008 R2 and you do the metadata cleanup or you remove the NTDS settings object, you need to be on 2008 R2. It will look into your IP configuration and the DNS server it's pointing to, it will actually remove all the interesting records that we otherwise would need to clean up manually. And everyone who's been through a forest recovery scenario where you had to clean up DNS records of hundreds of servers, that's a pain. So in this case, since 2002, and obviously in 2012 as well, it's done automatically. So if I'll go in to this box, I'll go to DNS. You can see the events. It's just pointing to my same Control ZDC 2012. The rest is it's all gone. So that's great. If you had a security compromise, and the security compromise is the reason why you do a forest recovery, a big, big thing now is, of course, resetting all your passwords. Resetting all your passwords, that's easy stuff. I want to pick one very, very quickly that's important. It is called the kerbtgt account. Some of you might know that. It's sitting in AD users' computers in the users container. You can only see it if you add the advanced features. You go users container, kerbtgt account. It's always disabled. We use it to encrypt our Kerberos tickets. We only use the password of this account. So by resetting this account twice, we have a password history of 2 passwords on our user settings. By resetting it twice, you make sure that you invalidate all Kerberos passwords, all Kerberos tickets. Everything is invalid, has to be negotiated new. So if it was a security compromise, you really need to do that as well. On top, if you have multiple domains, you reset all your trust accounts and all these little things. Other than that, that's the first DC and the first domain. You're back online. You can, you know, call your manager and say, look, we've got the first DC and the first domain online. You take a backup. That's always a good idea now, taking a full backup or a system state backup, because everything you've done now, if you make a mistake down the road, you don't want to do it again. Then you have a good backup to restore to. So this is the one big thing. And we've got about 5 minutes left, which leaves us group policies. Luckily, it's only one slide. So I mentioned before, group policy is very, very simple. It's included, of course, in every single system state backup. There are a few default policies, default domain policy, default domain controller policy. Quite important, of course. I prefer having other backups, to be honest. System state backup is great, but I said it takes quite a while to restore them. So in a nutshell, you can use PowerShell. You can use gpo-backup in the PowerShell commandlets to back it up. In the old days, you could use, within GPMC, you had scripts, WSF scripts that you can use. And you can also use the Advanced Group Policy Management Console, if you want to, and have access to it for software assurance customers and that, you know, who have MDOP. Or you can simply use, what I'll do now is a very quick thing, use the normal GPMC. So the one cool new feature, I don't know if anyone has seen that in another session, is we actually now check if SysVault is working, check if your group policies is working. So check it out on your new group policy management console. If you hit the domain, you have down here, you have a little detect now button. It will actually check all the domain controllers against the PDC master, if they are in sync, if everything is working, all the files are there, and all that stuff. So you hit the detect now, and it will generate a nice little report and tell you, in this case, ooh, we actually have an issue. Something is inaccessible. And then you can go and actually have a look of what does it mean inaccessible, there are issues, and all these little things. Since this is backup recovery, one last quick thing. As I said, it is very, very quick demo. All our group policy objects are down here. You simply click on action, and that's the funny thing, it's already hitting me. This context menu, depends where you click, you always get a different one. You go to group policy objects, action, and now you can see backup all. There we go. We backup already created a GPO backup location. We can back it up, and now the backup, backup is in progress. It takes a couple of seconds, and then succeeded, 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 done. 17, we can have a look at it. 17 GPOs were successfully backed up. They are all stored in this little folder that I call. You can store them anywhere, right? GPO backup, and in here you can see the GPOs. They're a lot easier to access. So if I now, let's assume I deleted a group policy, I need to restore it. I simply go to group policy objects again and say I want to manage the backups. You can script all of this, right? You can run PowerShell script, you can automate it. That's very, very simple. You can use scheduled tasks. It can be very, very simple to do all this. You don't need to click through this every single time you run the restore. We have a nice little button, show only the latest version of each GPO. That's really, really nice. And then, well, let's say the marketing settings is the one you want to restore. You have the view settings. You can double check if that is actually the GPO you want to restore. And the one major thing, got 53 seconds left. The one major thing is, the only thing we restore is the object. We do not restore the group policy link. Usually you guys link it to OUs, so that's the one last bit we don't do. And you can look it up in here, where the group policy is actually linked to, in this case the marketing OU, and then you simply hit restore. Yeah, that's the one. Marketing setting, succeeded, done. That was the restore of your group policy. Obviously, we restore against a single domain controller that now needs to replicate throughout your whole environment. But if you're not doing any backups of your group policies other than system state backup, you should really look at those scripts or group policy management console. It's so, so quick. All right, so almost done. That was group policies in a very, very quick way. A couple of useful resources. The link, if you download the PowerPoint presentation or have a look at the video again, there's the link for the AD topology diagrammer. We have a guide for planning the Active Directory forest recovery. It's about 40, 45 pages. Covers 2003, 2008, and 2012. Talks about everything. It's about 45 pages. If you want to plan it, it has some really, really nice step-by-step and what you need to do with all the commands. Restore AD tree. Sorry that the demo didn't work. It has never failed me. Anyway, that's tech head for you, right? So the link is there. And then, of course, after directory services team block, or as we sometimes call it, Ned's blog, because Ned Powell, he's an escalation engineer over at our support center in Charlotte. He's the main contributor. Really, really awesome stuff. If you want to know everything Active Directory, that's the one thing you want to look at. a couple of related content, and then we're done. If you have any questions, because we ran out of time now, if you have any questions, I'll be in the expo area, actually, at the Premier Support Stand. Come and see me. And other than that, I'll have, well, have a great night at the party. Thanks a lot. Actually, I have a few shirts.